I would think ahead toward Christmas or birthdays. I created tractors and trucks and kitchen sets, and I love to, say, oh, Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday, and have the kids open these gifts that I created and I thought were really special. And they kind of thought so too most of the time. And it's been interesting. Our grandchildren have all had opportunity to enjoy some of those things. And now they're in our basement in the toy room. And so, 40 years ago when I was doing those things, they still exist. And guess what? I still think they're pretty special. Creations of mine that I gave because I love my kids. Well, I kind of think that Margaret and I have a pretty true love for our children and our grandchildren. We think they're special, and we love them. As I think of myself and the stuff that I've created and give to them, I think about God. And God's love for us. And what God has done because he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, isn't it? The coming of God's gift to us, the coming of Jesus as a baby into this world. When I think of that, and I think about my love for my children and think about God's love for us, I think about how special and how wonderful that is. I know that part of the reality and truth about who God is that God is a God of love. God loves us. He loves each one of us just as we are because he's created us. The love of God is at the heart of all that God does for us. When we think about creation, we remember the account of Adam and Eve in the garden. And, I don't think any of us can really imagine what that must have been like. And yet, I know my own love for nature and love for being in nature, whether it's the times when I was growing up when my mom and dad took us to the Rocky Mountains. And as a young child, I loved to hike and I loved to see the trees. I loved to smell the pine and loved to be in that world. And as an adult, I continue to love being in nature, whether it's the opportunities I have to sit by the spillway up at Milford and fish and watch the water come out of that spillway. And this summer, watching how high the lake was, and at times they were pushing so much water out of that spillway that it was just amazing, incredible. All part of God's created world and what we've experienced and the joy of that. The reality that at the heart of who God is his love for us, and how special that love is in all that God has done for us. So God has loved us and shown us that in his creation. One of the incredible truths I think that we all need to try to get hold of is what happened then, when Adam and Eve, who were in that wonderful garden, sinned, and God needed to decide what he was going to do. And he decided that, there need to be consequences. Consequences to what the choices were that Adam and Eve made. And for Adam and Eve, the consequences were that they were going to be put out of the garden, that they could no longer stay in that garden. And, as a parent, when my children disobeyed and I needed to discipline them, when they needed to know that there were consequences to what they chose to do, how did I feel It hurt me. You know, I didn't want to have to discipline them. I didn't want to have to say, okay, Heather or Matthew or Jennifer, you know, you're going to need to go to your room for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you know, in your room, you can come back out. Or Matthew or Heather or Jennifer, go to your room. When you've decided that you can play nice with your brother or sister, then you can come out. You know, discipline, choices. The choices we make have consequences. It hurts my heart as a parent when I have to discipline one of my children. Or now, do I discipline grandchildren? Well, you know, that's a little different story, isn't it? That's for the parents to do. And I'm supposed to support whatever they choose to do in terms of that. But it hurts. I'm sure God must have felt that also, because our God is such a God of love and compassion, and he wants the best for us. So when it came time to apply discipline, consequences, that must have hurt. God's response to sin was like that. There had to be consequences. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. And yet, God didn't stop loving. He didn't stop loving Adam and Eve, and he didn't stop loving his created world. The love of God from the beginning set in motion a plan for redemption. One of the things that we know in reading the Bible is that God talks about the fact that from the beginning he knew what was going to happen. That's part of what we understand and believe about God, is that God knows the beginning from the end. He knows all of that and everything in between. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine or understand how that can be true, but it is. And so from the very beginning, God had a plan of redemption, a plan to redeem that perfect Adam and Eve, that perfect created world that he had allowed them to enjoy some time in. God's plan for redemption begins with Christmas. It begins with the celebration of the birth of Jesus. God's love for us. The truth is that God is a redeeming God. You know, sometimes we look at our world and we think, you know, where is God in this mess? Where is God in all that's going on, in all these wars, all this hate, all these people who are killing others because of whatever reason? Where is God? But God's plan is to redeem each one of us, to bring redemption to us. That's his plan. That's what he wants for us. And that was from the beginning of creation. Every once in a while, one of my created specialties breaks. One of the kids would do something like get mad and throw something or hit something and it would break. So what did I do? Did I say, oh, you shouldn't have done that, and I'm going to throw that away? Of course not. That's not what I did. I said, well, there are consequences. And sometimes it was, okay, you're going to need to pay for what it takes to repair this. Or I would say, okay, you just need to sit and be quiet for a little while. And I'd take that piece that was broken, and I'd repair it if I could. You see, God has placed in each one of us a desire for redemption. Not just for us personally, but that we would be people who bring redemption to others, who we redeem other people's lives, who we take other people's hearts that are broken and try to bring redemption, try to bring repair, try to bring wholeness and peace. That's part of God's plan. God's plan was not just for us in terms of our personal redemption, not just for us as human beings, but God's plan was to redeem our world as well. the created world. You know, we live in a world that has been damaged by the abrasive reality of sin in our lives. You know, I love the commercials, the commercial that shows the guys in the boats, you know, with their nets and cleaning up the dirty water. They say, well, why are you doing that? Because it's the right thing to do. You see, we really are a mixed bunch, aren't we? There are those of us who, no, I won't say those of us, because probably none of you here do this. You know, you go to McDonald's, go down the road, roll down the window, pitch it out the window. No, none of us do that, do we? But there are lots of people who do. There are people who don't care about the world in which we're living and what's happening. Is there global warming? Maybe, possibly, probably. We now see an advertisement, a political advertisement, where a gentleman says that the first thing I'm going to do if I'm elected is I'm going to pass this law that's going to change our world. It's going to save our world. You think, really, mister? You know, you might change that law that's going to make a difference in terms of, you know, what we throw out our windows and how well we do with emissions from our cars, but I'm afraid you're sorely going to be disappointed in the fact that you aren't going to be able to save the world. You might help, and we can make a difference. And it's interesting to me that, you know, that's the kind of heart that we have. And why do we have that? It's because of God's heart. The reason that we want to redeem our world, it's not because we're such good people. It's because God has put in us that kind of heart for redemption. Now, do we always do that? No, we don't, do we? We don't always do that. We don't always follow through with what we should in relationship to that. But God has placed that in us, that desire for redemption, not only to redeem the lives of our friends, but also to redeem our world. You know, when I think of all of this and think of God's love, you know, one of the questions that comes to mind is that, what difference does all of this make in terms of my life, in terms of understanding that God is a God of love? And a song, first of all, came to my mind as I was working on my sermon. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. You see, God is a God of love. And because of Him, I don't have to fear what's ahead. Because of Him, I can live without fear. And I can live for others as well. The other thing that I do when I think about these kind of questions, I go to my Bible. I go to the Word of God and look to see what God has to say about all of this. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, we read these words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Let us love one another, for love is from God. You see, as we celebrate Christmas, as we come to this time of year, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. What difference does that make in our lives? It makes all the difference in the world. Because he lives. Y'all, I don't have to be afraid. Because he lives. Y'all, I know what love is. Our world needs to see people who have true love. God has true love for us. He didn't throw us out with the dishwater. He redeemed us, is redeeming us. How are we to live? In similar fashion. We're to love. We're to redeem our relationships. One of the things that Myron and I were talking about this morning as we prayed together before our service was the reality that there are so many families who this Christmas will not share any time together. On the phone, over a dinner table, a card, maybe not even a thought. We live in a broken world. I know here among us, that's true of our families. There are some of us who won't probably talk to some of our family members at Christmas this year. We won't see them, for sure, but you may not even talk to some of your family members. We're in a broken world, a world where the consequences of sin have separated us from people we love. Our God is a God of love, a God who wants to redeem us personally, but also wants us to be people of redeeming love. With my statement that was just made, you may say, well, that's probably true of me, or was going to be true. I want to encourage you, each one of you, that if in fact that might have been the case for you, I trust that you'll change that. Make a phone call. Send a letter. Do something to begin the process of redemption in your life and your relationships with your family members and others around you. You see, we come to celebrate Christmas now, the birth of Jesus. It was the beginning of the redemptive process that God had planned since the beginning of creation. Since the beginning of creation, God had this plan to send his one and only Son to bring redemption, to forgive us so that our relationship with him can be one that is pure and whole and good, so that when we come to the question of why did God do this through Jesus Christ, that we can say, you know, because he wants me to know his love. He wants me to know no fear. He wants me to have peace, to know wholeness. And because of that, God also wants me to bring that to other people as well. So number one, as you celebrate Christmas this week, number one, rejoice in the wonderful love of God through Jesus Christ. First of all, rejoice, celebrate in your partying, in your giving of gifts. Think about it. But not only think about it, speak a word. Speak a word. Maybe it's to your family. Maybe it's to your best friend, husband or wife, child. Maybe it's to someone you meet. You're at Wes as you're going through the line to buy Christmas snacks or turkey or whatever. First of all, rejoice and be thankful for what God has done. Secondly, let's be ambassadors. You know, Margaret and I have some family members who are involved in government and government positions overseas where they are working, you know, in foreign countries. They're ambassadors. They're ambassadors for the United States. They're ambassadors for peace in our world. each one of us. Each one of us. Let's take that on as our role to be ambassadors. Margaret shared what Emmanuel's going through right now in terms of their process. Joe is here and a part of that. Joe is a member there at Emmanuel and shares with us as well as there. You know, thinking of that, what can we do as members of this church, as part of this church? How can we be ambassadors to bring peace to those folks at Emmanuel who may not be feeling so much peace right now, as they're in the midst of this change, and change is always hard? So think about people around you. Think about people in other churches. Think about friends who you work with. Think about anyone who might need to hear a word of God's love and redemption this Christmas season. We're going to close today by singing, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." So stand with me as we sing together.